Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Day four for the Green Bay Packers, practice number four, out there at Ray Nitschke Field was a very hot one. Holy Toledo. It is still very hot here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I'm in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It took a little bit, had some fun on the travel day, but arrived last night here in Green Bay. A beautiful time, a beautiful morning. It was hot, though, man. Holy Toledo, man. I know I'm going on about it, but it was hot. It was hot today. It's supposed to be hot tomorrow, too. These next couple days after that, then it starts to ease off. It's supposed to be gorgeous this weekend. Family night looks beautiful. So, obviously, even though it is Sunday, had to jump on here and chat with you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide, after hearing from Matt LaFleur this morning. Guys in the locker room this afternoon, always time to talk to you fine folks. Really want to say thank you and hello to everybody who said hi to me today here in Green Bay. It's always a bit overwhelming having so many people say hello and that they watch the channel and all of that. Thank you so much. And I do want to give a special shout out to Josh in Milwaukee at the Enterprise Rental Car. He was incredibly kind to me. I had had a hell of a day just trying to get to Wisconsin. And I thought I was about to have a meltdown, and he was very nice and very accommodating and very helpful in his role there at the rental car place. And it really made my day, really did. And he said very nice things about the channel, etc. But yeah, it's always fun to be here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. You see Lambeau resplendent behind me, along with plenty of stuff here from Banky's growing empire. His gardening channel, I believe, is soon to take off, so you'll be able to check out all of his gardening content here on YouTube pretty soon. Hello to everybody in the comments section. So good to see everybody. Hope you're all doing well. So I love that the first chat I see is hotter than hell today. I'm not kidding, man. I've been coming to training camp practices for a very long time, and I've been doing it pretty much annually for about the last 17 years or so, I want to say. I mean, this is year 18 of Cheesehead TV heading into, and this got to be a top three hottest practice I've ever been at. I mean, one of those days where it's just, you're just standing in your own perspiration for 2 hours. Like, it was hot. It was hot. It was not comfortable. Let's put it that way. But hey, man, practice was held. A lot of good plays. I mean, I hope you guys checked out my instant reactions. I'll probably be doing a short video each and every day after practice. Just give a few thoughts and an overview of what went on. But Nazir Stackhouse, as I said in my wrap-up or reaction video, I mean, he jumped off the field a couple of times today. And that's what you like for an undrafted kid trying to make a name, trying to make the squad. That's a good start. Now let's see if he can build on that. You know, pads come on. Shells come on tomorrow. Pads come on Tuesday. And then they have their day off on Wednesday. So hopefully he can, as Mike McCarthy would say, stack successes there. Because he jumped. He was noticeable. And it's funny because there were a couple other instances where I'm watching line play and I almost miss actually what the result of the play is, because you guys know I'm always looking at the line. But there was one play in particular. Lucas Van Ness got over on Rasheed Walker to the point where he flushed Jordan Love out to his left, and that was noticeable. We were standing right there on the sideline, and it happened right in front of me, and okay, signs of life there from Lucas Van Ness. You like to see it. Hopefully he can continue and stack a little success there and continue that once the pads come on. A couple, like I said, some stuff going on along the line. I thought Jacob Monk had a up and down day, certainly got taken advantage of early in team stuff by Kenny Clark, really kind of wrecked him and got into the backfield to stuff a Josh Jacobs run. And, you know, all throughout the day, I'm trying to watch in the trenches, but they're not in full pads. It was pretty physical. And like I said, it was hot, but very excited to see those pads come on. Things start popping. Maybe, hopefully, we'll get some one-on-one drills and some, even maybe some tackling periods. Matt LaFleur alluded to that earlier this morning. Usually, that's the young guys getting in on that, but, you know, who knows? We'll see how Matt goes with that. But exciting times. Good stuff. And good stuff seeing all of you in the chat already chatting it up. And, yeah, shout out and thanks to the Brewers for walking it off right before I went live. Perfect timing. Well done, Blake Perkins. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Before we get going, got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. That's right. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage or, indeed, in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. You know you want to. I got some super chats lining up here. What's going on, folks? How we doing? We got Dave. What's going on, man? A couple bucks merely for the Chef Halfley gem, A+. Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. I believe I got that from Nick on Twitter, but something that kind of percolated and became a thing last year as the defense improved in the second half of the season. But yes, Chef Halfley, he was cooking again today, I'll tell you that. Although Jordan Love did get the last laugh. He sent a big pressure there at the end of practice, and he threw a ball just perfectly skyward, essentially, just where Tucker Kraft could go get it. Great coverage by Evan Williams. Williams is right there, right on Kraft, almost literally. And Kraft just skied for it and got it. And I know there was some talk that maybe, you know, oh, someone would have hit him or Williams would have been more physical if, you know, this had been live action. And I think there's probably something to that, but it's still a phenomenal play by both Love and Tucker Kraft. I mean, that's exactly what you want to see at this point in camp. Really good stuff. Chris, thanks for the super chat, man. With Hobbs, Nixon, and Valentine and strong potential from King, there's a chance cornerback could end up being a strength of the defense. Okay. Okay. Let's slow down here. Yes, it could be. Long way to go. I know, look, no one has talked about how I think, you know, set and in a much better spot than most think they are at corner. But, man, there's a long way to go from saying that's a trio that's going to, you know, be solid enough to play championship level defense. Certainly the depth is the major question mark. And yes, King has the talent. There is no doubt about that. And I know Matt was asked about him earlier today, but you know, it's still very, very early. Let's see what happens when things start to get a lot more physical and things are happening a lot quicker and strong, you know, faster and more physical and blah, blah, blah. Things can change real quick. So we'll see. I mean, man, it'd be wonderful if Kalen King took a monster step, right, and became a major contributor and part of the rotation on a regular basis. That would be awesome. But I think we're a ways away from getting there. Steve, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Cheers, Nags and fellow cheeseheads. Steve-O here. It's been a while, but I'm back on the regular. No pads today due to the heat. I think they just wanted to ramp up because they can't do 3 padded practices per the CBA. So they'll be in shells tomorrow, most likely, and then full pads on Tuesday, and then they'll have their day off as required again by the CBA after your first day in full pads. So I don't know if the heat had anything to do with it. Probably ask Matt tomorrow. We'll find out. Evil Badger, what's up, man? The throwback helmets look really amazing, but $1,600? As I said earlier, man, that's nothing. Where were you when you had your chance to buy the $10,000 helmet in there? It's all like bejeweled and shit. I mean, look, someone's going to pay for it. You know, it's market price. The market says price it at $1,500. I guarantee you people will buy it. And it looks cool. I was just in the pro shop spending way too much money. I got a chance to look at it and it looks dope as hell. That thing, the videos don't do it justice. Rich Harris, what's up, man? Any plans with Andy Herman, like a crossover show? I think we'll do probably, you know, a Let's Talk Football while I'm in town, hopefully. I got to talk to Andy. I know he's very busy running his own pack-a-day empire. But, yeah, hopefully. I would love to do at least one episode while I'm in town. One show that will be happening while I'm here for certain is Carry the G Radio, the podcast. Billy and I will be getting together later this week to talk about everything here at camp. The guys from the radio are all here throughout the week. It's a lot of fun. Good times. Can't wait. So be on the lookout for that. Nags at Corey's place. Now it's training camp. No doubt. And yeah, Corey, having some work done on the old place. Place crazy. So they got a greenhouse over here. He's got a whole new studio area. It's nuts, man. I truly hope the description beneath a diamond encrusted helmet on Green Bay's site said bejeweled and shit. Well, you know what I meant. You know. LVN made an appearance. He did indeed. He did indeed. Like I said, one play. That's all it was, but it certainly was a clean win in a team's situation, rushing against Rasheed Walker. Did a nice job of getting in the backfield and flushing Jordan Love out of the pocket for what ended up being an incompletion. That's baby steps, baby. I like it. Jacob, that's a fair question, man. What do you think is the future of Luke Musgrave? Hear a ton about Tucker Kraft, so it's curious. And that's fair, man. Like, it's really, and we've talked a bit about this over the offseason, it's very difficult to determine what they have with Musgrave or what the future might be with Musgrave when he hasn't been able to stay on the field with any regularity. You know, the old coaching adage, can't make the club in the tub, you know, and obviously draft status, athletic ability, upside, etc., means he is going to make the club, but he has spent way too much time on the sidelines the last two seasons, his first two seasons in the league. Now, he's still a very young player. There's a lot of promise there, a lot of upside, but there's no doubt that Tucker Kraft is tight end one, and Musgrave will see opportunities. He was out there a bunch today with the ones and two tight end sets and things of that nature, but it's really difficult to make any kind of prognostication on his future when, you know, it's just there's so little to go off of. I mean, outside of that athleticism and the upside and the stuff that got you excited specifically, really, in that first training camp, I think he had a very quiet summer last year, but his rookie year, that camp, it, like, you saw all the promise and you saw the athletic upside, and they had seemingly a lot of plays drawn up for him. Now it would appear a lot of those plays are drawn up for Tucker Kraft. So he's just got to stay healthy and put together a good, consistent year. And then I think we'll have a much better kind of feel for what they think about him, about his potential, and what he could end up being in Green Bay, you know, long term, if he were to become one of their core members, which that decision is probably going to have to start to be made next year, heading into the final year of his rookie deal. So we'll see. A ways to go. Joe, what's up? Is battle for the backup nose tackle just the Georgia guys? I wouldn't say just the Georgia guys, but I think they're the leaders in the clubhouse for certain. I saw some good work from Wooden today, though he wasn't playing nose. I saw one play in particular where really, like, even pre-snap, I was saying, get your butt down. And Carl Brooks got washed out in a run play because he was just too high. And guy came crashing down and blew him right out of the hole, and running back went right through. So those things, you know, day to day, got to, like, get on your P's and Q's and make sure you come back next play. And I, you know, and that's the other, you know, really frustrating part as someone who's watching practice and noticing these things. You don't have the benefit of the film, so I can't go back and watch, well, what else did Brooks do today? I just noticed him on that one play. He may have had a phenomenal practice, but I just noticed that kind of moment in time. That's something I was saying to somebody on Twitter, I believe, yesterday or the day before, you know, and I feel like I say this every summer, but I should reiterate, you know, just because you read about someone or hear about somebody in a camp kind of roundup, whatever, it doesn't mean if you don't hear a name that they're doing nothing or they're having a bad camp. Certainly guys can be quiet when it comes to production. That doesn't mean that they're not working their ass off. Doesn't mean they're not getting open or whatever. It's just, there's so much that goes on. Any bit of, you know, tweeting or camp roundup articles or things of that nature, they are really just windows into a much wider world that is impossible to capture on the day-to-day. There's just so much information and so much going on that the coaches, I mean, literally after the ones got done with their kind of first series and, you know, they ran their plays, blah, 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 and now they break and they go to drill work. So now all the position groups are kind of breaking off into little sections and they're doing their work. Adam Stenovich is beelining to the iPad and looking through the plays that they just ran, you know, because they're beaming that to the sideline and then that's getting produced right away for them. And then they can instantly look at everything. I mean, that's the dream. I'd love to be able to do that, you know, take an instant look at the tape, but we don't have that luxury on the sideline. But of course we don't need it. They need it. But it is something that I just, you know, feel I need to kind of reemphasize every summer. Mr. JJ, how was the crowd at practice with the heat? Was it full? Actually, it was this morning when it very, very first kicked off. I think, you know, once that second series of scrimmage plays ended, it cleared out pretty fast. It was bummer size hot if you're just sitting there, no shade, in the baking sun, watching guys, you know, do special teams drills or whatever. Man, that's a low ROI on that one. So, but yeah, at the start of practice, it was packed. It was, the whole thing was full. Carrie, what's up, man? Nags, just today, of the wide receivers, did anyone stand out, Reed do anything noteworthy? Reed almost had a phenomenal play up the left sideline. Couldn't get a second foot in bounds, but it was a gorgeous kind of job just getting behind the defense, and Love finding him, and Love put it just far enough outside that Reed just couldn't get his second foot down for what would have been an incredible play. Unfortunately, the other noteworthy thing Reed did today was fumble, because Rashawn Gary came up behind him on the left sideline after he had a really significant gain, and Gary just tomahawk chopped from behind and caused a fumble. Great play by Gary, but man, you got to hold on. They've had some fumble issues already here early on in camp. Got to nip that in the bud. But as far as the other wide receivers, one of the undrafted guys, I think it was Brown, had a couple catches right at the end that were pretty great. He caught a touchdown with the threes versus the threes in the end of game period. But yeah, mostly I wouldn't say there was a ton that was flashy or big play, whatever. I thought Golden had a couple of really nice catches. There was one that Willis was a little off on a slant, and he plucked it out of the air. He's got strong hands, very strong hands, and like basically didn't break stride. And when you've got that kind of speed, that's a bonus, right? So that was pretty impressive, but nothing earth-shattering, no huge plays or anything like that. Nags, where's your carry the G? Probably right down the street. Which reminds me, and I should remind all of you, that Carry the G is back on shelves across this great state of Wisconsin.
Well, we carry the G wherever we may be. So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
You don't have to give me an excuse to play it. I'll play it. No doubt about it. You know, I'm just itching to, really. Rich Harris says, my buddy bailed early. Some people are built for it, man. Some people aren't. No shame in the game. I totally get it. Sam Brown has been a go-to for Clifford so far in camp. That was it. Thank you, Big Packers. Yeah, he had a couple of really nice catches. No question about it. Yeah, Clifford came running into the end zone after the TD. The whole group was like surrounding him. That was a great moment for the young man, no doubt about it. Dale Norton, good day. Good day from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Good to see you. Any Lloyd action today? The only thing I really noticed was a play, and he did well on this play, but he was kind of the least noteworthy thing about it. He was lined up in the backfield as a single back, but split off to the left was Chris Brooks. And then they motioned Brooks across the formation, and just as he clears the quarterback, they snap the ball. And, you know, it's a handoff to Lloyd, who follows Brooks. And the interior of the line got a great push, and I think they gained like 5-6 yards. That's an interesting little wrinkle. And I think, you know, that's the kind of thing you like to see with a group as talented and, I dare say, deep at running back as they have. I mean, that's the kind of thing you could utilize to give Josh Jacobs a bit fewer carries, maybe from time to time, game to game, what have you. But yeah, very interesting design. And it's interesting that Lloyd was the guy getting the ball, you know, but like I said, he just basically hit the hole and got what was blocked, which was significant, but I didn't see anything crazy after that. What else we got here, folks? Cheese at TV on a Sunday. Yes. Who would have thunk it? Hand-painted. Yes, they are hand-painted. What do you look for on the line play when the pads first come on? It's a good question, Boggs. And hello, man. How are you? I haven't seen you in a while. Usually just who's getting leverage, who's able to, you know, what's that first day, and it's a little extra kind of adrenaline, and guys get after it, but a lot of times they do kind of lose their technique because they're trying to be first off the ball and make that first strike and put their hands on a guy. And sometimes they can get a little high. They can lose leverage. And it's usually the guy like Kenny Clark will take people to school like that. So for me, I'm just interested in who's coming out of the gate, not even keel, because you need aggression, obviously, but who's remembering their technique now that the pads are on. Like, that's, to me, a bit interesting, you know. Usually, you'll get a one-on-one drill slash situation once the pads come on. It doesn't always happen on the first day. In years past, I know Matt's waited a day or two, so we might probably won't get that on Tuesday. But, of course, that drill is always fun. It's always interesting. And it's always great to talk with the guys on the sideline and see, you know, who grades who as a win for each rep. Like, you know, who did you have? I thought I had Kenny Clark winning that one. Oh, I don't know, man. I had Elton Jenkins winning that one. Like, it's just eye the boulder stuff, you know. Good times, good times. What else we got? Oh, we got that one. When he's not on the sidelines, he's not on his feet. I imagine that's about Luke Musgrave. And what can I say? You're not wrong. Like, it's something that he continues to need to work on. It's certainly been noticeable throughout his career, to the point where the coach made a joke about it famously 2 years ago in a playoff game. So, you know, hopefully more reps he gets, more consistent he can be in that regard. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, and sometimes Sunday here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. See you tomorrow. Go Pack, go.